Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stream anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand. We're also streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as the iHeartRadio app. And as always, you can listen on their websites as well. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How was your weekend? How was your trip?
My trip was fantastic. Got to go play some golf with my dad and my two brothers. We had a fabulous time out in Stream Song down in Florida. It was the classic, George, the only negative you have to say about the trip is that you were kind of wishing you had another day.
Didn't last long enough. How'd you shoot?
Didn't last.
Have to ask. We went over it on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm now at this point in golf where it's like I've been like a four, and now I'm now back in like double digits. So like my goal on a lot of times is, all right, just go break 90 and make a birdie. Yeah. And I broke 90 all three rounds. I made three birdies. So,
for what it's worth, this course as well.
Yeah, the most disappointing thing is my favorite course is the one that we played yesterday, and it's one of my favorite golf courses in the entire world. And through the fourth hole, I had only really hit one bad shot, and I was five over. And so, where you're just like you're feeling like you're ruining like one of the experiences. Like, to put it in perspective, we went and played the first six holes at the end of the day before, and I was one over through those six. And so I've got all the great vibes going on Sunday, and it's just like a nice reminder of don't ever plan to play well when you play golf. Like, just if you play well, it's an accident. So don't ever think about it in those terms. Also got to watch some football. So we'll get into that this weekend. I think this is kind of where we'll start, because DeMichael Cole is going to join us. They had Grizzlies practice and shoot arounds, and then they had media availability, so it looked like it went a little bit longer. So when DeMichael's going to join us here momentarily, but we'll talk amongst ourselves before DeMichael gets here, because we'll get into some Grizzlies. Ja Morant was seen at practice in shoot around, getting some shots up, so at least encouraging. And I don't really feel like we were all that discouraged in the sense of, yes, when you read the news of Ja Morant ankle injury, it bums you out. But I think the longer time went on, the more you kind of realized, all right, this might be precautionary. Like, it's, hey, let's make sure we get to the season opener with Ja Morant in good shape. And it seems like that's where this is trending. So we'll get into some Grizzlies discussion with DeMichael as well. We'll get into the list. The Titans are, I guess, they're still actively searching for their interim coach, but we do know that Brian Callahan is no longer the head coach of the Titans. There's a lot of insult stats out there about the Callahan tenure, and We'll get into that as well as some other of the coaching decisions that we saw yesterday. Certainly, Stream Song was buzzing on Sunday when people could not believe that indeed Penn State pulled the trigger. $49 million. Good for James Franklin if you can get it. So we'll talk about some of those moves and take a look at what else we got coming up on the sports calendar, because it is just a fantastic time. But I think before we get into pure overreactions, George, I guess it's been this way for a couple of weeks now in the NFL, and I think if you really want to start it, I would start it the night that we had Kyle Shanahan's just absolute Mona Lisa's masterpiece of Big Bro, Little Bro night when they defeated the Rams with about half of his roster. I think if you start on that Thursday night, that's when you start to realize, oh, it's a long NFL season and there's some teams that are kind of just trying to load manage their way through a schedule, because we got to Thursday night, and on Thursday night, I think it was pretty obvious when you were watching the Giants and the Eagles, we were reminded yet again, if Jalen Carter's not on the field, the Eagles' defense is not quite as scary.
No, I mean.
But I think what you also saw there is like, all right, we're starting to get some kind of weird results here. Like, the New York Giants are not three touchdowns better than the Eagles 4 days after losing to the Saints. But you will see this during the course of the NFL season. And I think it's more difficult for people that have grown up around college football as the baseline of their football watching. You're just not used to seeing teams that are as close in terms of talent, and you get these results that if you just see the team names, you're scratching your head a little bit. But I think what we're starting to see now is we're getting into kind of the, all right, it's week six, week seven in college football. It's week seven. We're coming up on week eight. Guys are banged up, and that is kind of where I would start with my first overreaction. I think my first overreaction is, it will usually happen almost every year, but there's a week one result that you'll always be like, how the hell did that happen? And I think our week one result of how the hell did that happen, I think it's going to be Florida State beating Alabama. Now, there's some context involved. Number one, Florida State on Saturday, I had my phone open and the Thamel like alerts start, and you find out Florida State is definitely going to be without their top two receivers, and their number three receiver got hurt in warmups. So I'm not trying to poke fun at Florida State fans and act like, oh, how did you lose to Pitt? Well, number one, Pitt made a coach or a quarterback change, and ever since then, they're putting up 40 points a game. So it's a little different offense, but more importantly, you did have your top three pass catchers down. But what I really think, what I'm saying in terms of how did that happen, what I think is on what's pretty obvious to me at this point, Florida State does not have a good defense.
No.
And they've given up yards to pretty much everybody, with the exception of one team that they did not give up yards to, with the exception of what felt like the first drive. The first drive against Alabama, Alabama like right down the field, scored, but really after that, it was a slog. And now there was weather involved. Remember they had the weird
downpour. Half rain, yeah. And that was before. And also keep in mind, we're looking at Alabama now relative
Correct.
To then. Jim Miller, look, we all said it at the beginning of the year. Man, he's going to be a good piece for them. We see it now. He's a really good piece for them.
There's no question. No Jam in week one. They were not running the football great. They fall behind, and Florida State hits a couple of big punches, and you're just kind of off. But I really feel like if those two teams played now, I mean, I think the spread during the game was 13.5 when they played week one. I do not think, even though we've watched Florida State beat them, and I want to be clear, I didn't think the game was fluky.
No.
I just think when you go back, you'll have this happen. It's week one. There's no preseason. A lot of teams don't know like what exactly it's going to be. Alabama clearly was not ready for the challenge that Florida State presented from a defensive front. And now that I think there's a little bit of tape out there, I think Alabama probably would have played that game differently. Also, I think it's fair to say this, that like Ty Simpson is playing a lot better than he did that game. And I did not put that loss on him. but he's clearly playing at a different level than he did that day. First true road start that game. They're opening up the new stadium. There's all of the makings of, okay, this is a weird, nutty
weird
result.
Game, weird upset going to happen.
But I think that's the one that I'm going to say, how the hell did that happen? Because even when we look at it in these terms now, okay, what would be some of the other candidates? All right, I think at first we were thinking one of the other candidates would be what we thought was one of the funnier results of the year, and maybe it won't be quite as funny at the end of the year. It's still going to be probably a 4-win team at most with UCLA. But now you see with UCLA, like they went and they just put up a bunch of points on Michigan State over this weekend. And so while the result was shocking in the sense that, like, how did Penn State let this happen? Well, now you have to start do the math of, okay, did we make too much of Penn State because of an Oregon result? Because now Oregon has wins over teams that I think are like a combined 2 in 12. And so you're starting to apply more and more context. Conversely, everyone that thought 7 points was not enough or was way too low and a disrespectful line to Indiana, they look pretty smart right now because that game wasn't fluky.
No.
That was Indiana. Honestly, I thought Indiana made mistakes that kept the game even closer. If the pick six doesn't happen, I mean, what? There was a 40-yard explosive for Oregon, but really other than that, a couple of field goals and a pick six, that was their 20, right?
Yeah. I mean, they got really nothing going on the ground. Dante Moore was in hell.
Absolutely. All
afternoon.
All day. I mean, and they were, and Indiana was extremely disciplined in their rushes. Like it was very clear what they were trying to do. They wanted the defensive ends to rush really hard outside in, force him up in the pocket, and then they collapse the pocket. That only works if you have dudes up front.
Oh, yeah.
Because the hardest part of that is we want to force somebody up and we're going to collapse the pocket up front. Well, that's usually where you got to have all of the big defensive linemen, because if you think about it in these terms, one of the big talking points of last week was one of the big talking points from the Indiana-Oregon preseason or whatever the pregame, the buildup all last week was how small Indiana's defensive line was compared to Oregon's offensive line. Well, they did not seem to think the size was the issue because they did a phenomenal job collapsing the pocket.
Hey, just because they're on the smaller side does not mean they can't set an anchor. Does not mean they can't just really get a ton of push. And that's exactly what they did. I mean, they completely hemmed in Dante Moore. They stopped their – I mean, they ran for, mind you, obviously with college, they take sacks into account with this. But on the ground, they averaged less than 3 yards a carry.
Oh, I think even sack adjusted, it wasn't even
sack adjusted, it was still probably very minimal.
Yeah, I mean, it was under 4 yards a carry.
That's like from what we've seen out of this Oregon team that's kind of been able to offensively move the ball at will against a lot of teams. I think to me that was the most impressive.
I lied. Sack adjusted was 4.8.
I mean, that's still.
But still, I mean, it was 4.8 on. They had 116 yards on 30 carries.
What? Wait, once it, wow, really?
Yeah.
All of those yards against Dante were all sacks?
Yep. 27.
27 in the red.
But to the point, they had 6 sacks. They also had 8 tackles for loss compared to 1 sack for Oregon's defensive line.
What?
And 4 tackles for loss. They won the game up front.
Absolutely. They completely stymied Oregon's offense. To me, that was the most impressive part about this win, because for Indiana, I think even going in, we all had a baseline of what they were going to do offensively. We know Mendoza, for the most part, with what he's done this year, he's going to do a just fine job protecting the ball. Maybe he throws one, you know, maybe there's a turnover mixed in there, but he's going to keep the team on schedule. He's going to keep them ahead of the sticks. And he's going to limit turnovers. And sure, he had the pick six, but when you're also able to run the ball the way that they did, and while, you know, he was just, it was just methodical.
Yes.
How they were winning this game.
And so I bring all that to say, I had been pretty clear what I was going to be with Alabama. Based on things that had happened behind the scenes. I think it was fair to say you can trust Alabama under Kalen DeBoer at home, but they've had problems on the road. And whether it be discipline, whether things get blown out of proportion, all that's true. But the reality was they played clearly noticeably worse, and not to the level that, well, duh, all teams play worse on the road. Y'all, it was like 17-point difference. Like, it was based on expectations, everything. It was
a massive difference.
A wild split. Like, the type of splits that do look alarming. Now, with that being said, in a three-week stretch, you had big game against Georgia where your team showed up and delivered. Come back home in a game against Vanderbilt where there was a lot of personal on the line with how Alabama fans feel about the way Diego had treated that game and the way he talked, all that. You absolutely shut them down in the second half. And then you go to a very tricky spot in Missouri where right off the bat, Missouri walks it down the field, goes and scores. And then after that, just kind of settled in, forced, I think it was three straight three and outs, took control of the game, built up a two-score lead. And yeah, Missouri gets the ball back with 55 seconds or whatever to try and kick it and go get a field goal. But it was very obvious to me, Alabama controlled the entire game after that first possession. And so this is where I want to tip my cap and say, all right, show me that you're different. And I felt like Alabama in this 3 weeks has shown me that, yes, all of the talk about it's going to be different this year, we have a better team, we like the makings, we like the ingredients better, it's all there. After a week one where I'm sitting there going like, well, it's still the same issues that seem to have hurt you before, I think it's safe to say at this point, I feel better and I feel differently, and I think that they have earned all the flowers that they're going to get right now.
Absolutely. Just the biggest, one of the biggest turnarounds as well, if we're looking back to that week one game, Alabama, it's the trenches for them, offensively and defensively. They've done a much better job protecting Ty Simpson. And here was the one of the big reasons why I'm like, man, Mizzou, they're more than frisky. They're able to just pound the rock. Ahmad Hardy was absolutely shut down in this game. Now, you could sit there and say, oh, but they really cued in on that. They stacked the box, all those things. Okay, that's all well and good. But Prabula had also thrown the ball well to start the year. He did not Saturday.
It is very obvious what they did from a defensive perspective. To your point, they were not going to let Hardy get going, and they were going to sit there and say, all right, Bo, beat us from the pocket and beat us. And in the first drive, he had a couple of really nice throws.
Yeah, script.
Bingo.
Script.
Then all of a sudden, when they start to play a little more straight up, you start to understand why Penn State at least made the decision, maybe wrongly, who's to say, but they liked him in the wildcat mantra, the change of pace, rather than the every down quarterback.
Now, that isn't to say, you know, that Mizzou is completely done.
Oh, no.
They have plenty of runway left.
No, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, Mizzou loses by three at home to a team that I think now is probably rightfully the SEC favorite. Like, I understand if you want to sit there and go, A&M still got the zero on the record, and they do appear to be a team that is building and trying to play better each and every week. And where a lot of teams are having losses not age particularly well, or wins maybe not age particularly well, what seems to be true with Texas A&M is the Notre Dame game is aging fairly well. Like, that seems to be, it doesn't seem to be that Notre Dame was some type of fraudulent team, and we're now looking at Notre Dame where you're sitting there going, all right, their two losses are to two teams that are ranked second and fourth, respectively. They lost by a combined 4 points, and here we are. So I think that was kind of the first big overreaction I had to the weekend, which was maybe the win for Alabama didn't jump off the page to you. But I the fact that it was a third consecutive opportunity where you could easily let go of the rope, and you could have taken losses. Yet again, it's another game that you just handled business. You controlled the game. Didn't play perfectly, but when it came down to a fourth down and you had to make a big play, boom, they did that. They did all the things that you're supposed to do. Get up two scores on the road. Take control of the game. They handled it all extremely well, and now it feels like we're kind of on this long, strange, winding road where we came into the season wondering if Alabama was going to be the best team in the SEC, despite the fact that Texas was getting the early season accolades. The team that I had talked myself into during the offseason was Alabama, and I do feel like, all right, here we are again, and yeah, we took kind of a winding road. I mentioned it last year when we got to the playoff where it felt like we rode this weird roller coaster with Georgia and Ohio State, and then by the time we got to the actual seeding of the playoff, Ohio State was one, Georgia was two, and for those that may not remember, at the beginning of the year, I believe it was the Westgate that was offering, and Westgate's a very sharp, good sports book. They were offering you Georgia and Ohio State versus the field at even money. And it took us a while to get there, and then Georgia obviously bows out once Beck gets hurt. But lo and behold, when we got down to it, like we went a lot of places, but the two teams that we thought were going to be there, and I get it, Ohio State winds up being the 8 seed after the Michigan loss, but it's like, once we saw the Rose Bowl game, we're like, okay, well,
yeah, this team's different.
Correct. And so here we are. I think the other big overreaction that I had this weekend was I was not wrong about John Mateer. I might have been early. I've thought about this about Mateer because I'm in this weird spot. I mentioned it was a lot like when I'm randomly at the old Fox and Hound in Sanderlin, and it's a December, like Tuesday or Wednesday night, and the other bowl game in San Diego, I think it used to be the Camellia Bowl, or the Poinsettia Bowl, sorry. And you look up and you're like, who's this kid at Wyoming? Like, this guy's got a hose.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of, oh, wow, he can move a little bit. Like, who is this guy?
He's got a little wiggle.
This is fun. And then as the next 24 months developed, and then people start to tell you, don't worry about the accuracy thing, this guy is going to be the best quarterback. Well, then it's like, okay, well,
well, now you have me worried.
Right. Like, now I'm pushing back a little bit. But back when this was, like, my own thing and I discovered it on my own, this was fun. But now, like, you're trying to insist. And again, I put my hand up and said I was wrong about that. I'm somebody that has watched a lot of John Mateer when he was at Washington State. I have always thought this to be true. John Mateer is more of a fun quarterback than he is a great quarterback. It is a lot of fun because it's a lot of, holy cow, this guy plays hard every single snap. Oh my God, I can't believe he made that throw. Oh my God, I can't believe he made that throw. Like, it is a lot of up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
I did also find myself wondering, like, did the adults in the room fail this guy?
That was literally my first thought is,
why was he playing?
There was no need for him to step on the field and actually play in that game. There was no way that he was actually healthy enough to, like...
Well, his hand started bleeding, and I do know, also, there's a lot of people in the sports media blogosphere,
yeah,
that are anti-Booger McFarlane, and I want to state for the record, I'm very pro-Booger McFarlane. Oftentimes, those people take what he says, which, by the way, winds up usually being true and accurate and just Booger, like, just speaking off the cuff, and try to use it against him. So the one that they got going this weekend was apparently, because Boog does the studio before the ABC games.
Yeah.
So Boog just straight up said, if I'm a defensive lineman and I know John Mateer's out there playing, I'm trying to step on his hand. Hey, guess what? Like, he wasn't the only person that had the thought.
No, and my whole thing with it is we are talking about, what was the stat on the broadcast? It was 17 days.
Yes, 17 was the one they kept, like, since the surgery.
17 days. It's been 2 weeks and 3 days since he had screws put into his throwing hand to stabilize an injury. There is no shot he should have actually been playing in this game. You don't even, when it's that close to it, you don't need to step on it. You just need to touch it. You just got to keep on keeping on. Just get a hand up there. Well, anything.
I think the other thing, though, that I was thinking about was,
He didn't look healthy throwing the ball.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, he has gotten away with a lot of throws.
Absolutely.
In the Michigan game, there were at least three balls that if Michigan comes down with, the game ends up being a different game.
Absolutely.
They didn't, and that's part of it. But I do think the difference on Saturday was, like, he put the balls up in danger and Texas just picked him off. But the other thing I was thinking about is, like, did Oklahoma do themselves a disservice? Because by making it the whole dog and pony show that they did by actually trying to have him play and whatnot, it's like, did you get rid of a mulligan? Because I really do think if they would have played with Hawkins, and honestly, it would have been a similar result because, well, that's what we saw last year. Did Oklahoma's offense look any different?
No.
So, if you play Hawkins, I think they could have had, like, the excuse with the committee, but now it's like you're the ones that forced him, or I say forced, I get it. He's from Texas. He probably spent his whole life dreaming of wanting to beat Texas when they never offered him whatnot. I understand all that. But I just kept thinking, like, why is he playing?
To your point, that is any time, like, I've talked to anybody throughout the weekend about this game is, yes, Mateer played poorly. Mateer should not have been on the field. The coaching staff and the medical staff has to do a better job of protecting an athlete from themselves at times. I think this is absolutely one of those times.
I mean, it was...
like, even 2 weeks from now, like you said, the way he runs, the way he plays, it's his style. Do we think he's going to look that much better even after a bye week?
By the way, do you know who had the most rushing attempts for Oklahoma?
Yeah, John Mateer.
Yep.
How many times do you think his, and like I'm thinking, you don't even need that much extra impact on a recently operated on hand to impact it. 14 carries.
The whole thing, and again, some of that is sacks, so what, five would have been sacks, but it still was, he still would have been, Blaylock had 11 carries, and let's just say if it was the 9 attempts, he would have had 9.
Okay. That doesn't change anything for me. That's 9 too many.
No, I mean, that was absolutely banana land to me. And then, of course, that gets us to, all right, how does this whole weekend impact the University of Memphis? And I think overall, I think you got to say Memphis won the bye week. Because if you think about it in these terms, number one, I still think I'd rather have South Florida not a part of the equation, but if your eyes are on the prize of I want game day, then you needed to have happen what happened on Friday night in Denton, Texas, where North Texas gets a pretty good first punch, and you think, oh, they're live. And then as the game just went on, you realize, like, these two teams are not the same.
No.
South Florida is a lot better. And they're a lot better where it counts. And they're all basically better up, like, all across the board. They had by far the better defensive line.
Yes.
I'm not sure if North Texas ever, like, the only way it felt like they got into the backfield was like a mistake.
Yeah. And I mean, for what it's worth, there were plenty of those from South Florida.
Correct.
North Texas is not built to punish them enough.
You never felt like, oh, this is just a defensive line getting after them.
No.
It felt like, oh, that was a busted assignment and somebody took advantage, or maybe they ran a good twist and miscommunication. But it never felt like, oh, man, North Texas is getting a push. And then on the flip side, yes, North Texas had some skill guys, but, man, which skill guys did you trust to make the plays? Because it felt like I saw a lot of Gator arms out there from a lot of the North Texas receivers, whereas it was like South Florida guys were making tough catches. And then in the end, it was Westmaker versus Brown. And which one looked better?
Potentially, just a thought, The guy whose team put up 63 points
on... And it felt like they took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, well, they started with their foot off the gas.
That's true.
And then they just...
They did go fumble.
Then they slammed it to the ground and then thought, you know what? We've already put up enough style points here. We can ease off a little bit.
All right, let's continue the conversation. DeMichael is here, so we'll talk about what else we saw from Overreaction Monday. We'll talk about it next with DeMichael when he joins us in studio. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ESPN. To Michael Coles, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies beat writer for The Commercial Appeal, his podcast, the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, episodes available each and every weekday. Follow him on the Everything app at DeMichael C. Joins us now from practice. I'd say, DeMichael, let's save our Grizzlies stuff for hour number two, because we'll let you just unload on the notebook.
Okay.
All right, let's go with football weekend. Mm-hmm. You and I were texting a little bit this weekend.
Yeah.
When you think about what caused you to have the biggest reaction, what were the results, or what were the things that happened that you took note of?
Are we NFL or college?
Both.
Both.
Although I felt like yesterday was one of the sleepier Sundays.
It was. It was kind of, yeah.
And like, I don't know if did Jets Broncos just set the tone of just like,
did, yeah, that was
hey,
ugly.
This is the
that
most London game of all times. Like, nobody wants to watch this. Like,
yeah.
I can safely say I did not remember ever seeing an 11-10 score. Mm. Like, that was one of those ones. Like, I don't think I've ever seen it. Turned out it was not a scoregami or whatever. 13-11 was not a scoregami, but it hadn't happened since 86. But like, I just felt like when we were. Like, when I'm watching on Red Zone and kind of just going through yesterday, mm-hmm. I was like, man, this just feels like a lot of teams that are just trying to, like, get to, like, the next week.
Yeah, it feels like that overall in the NFL. Like, the parity is on another level right now. Like,
you can talk me into the Eagles kind of load managing last Thursday.
You definitely
like,
can.
After they've had a bunch of tough games.
They're older team.
Yep. And, mm-hmm. Hey, they're going into kind of the mini-bye, if you mm-hmm. will. It's like... I would imagine that was a playoff game Jalen Carter was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, and, I think it said something of this sort.
And so it makes sense to me. Like, hey, man, it's a 17-game schedule, and
This is a team that's not going to be judged based on whether or not they win a Week 7 Thursday night game on Amazon Prime. Excuse me, Prime Video.
I think they said something about even the turf played a role in him not playing.
Yeah, the turf is a very easy punching bag. OBJ has made that like his life goal to make sure that the turf at MetLife goes down. I don't know what the answer is, man. Like, they've done the – they did the –
I think a lot of players are just anti-turf, period, at this.
But okay, but you know what's weird is, like, it seems to be positionally.
I see
why. Because they're all lots of guys. They're faster.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I think, like, David Bakhtiari left, you know, really good left tackle and got hurt. And
I would imagine the big uglies up front are not fans of it.
Mm-mm. No.
But, like, they've tried to do the whole when FIFA came in for to get ready for the World Cup, that kind of hybrid of some grass, some turf. Like, you see it on all the fields in Europe, but it turns out, like, it's a slow surface.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys don't like it because it's a slow surface.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I do know the MetLife. The MetLife turf is a very easy punching bag.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, like you said, that's a good way of putting it. It's a punching bag. Man, I think James Franklin? That's got to be the one for me. You know, just – how quickly this came about. There's so many times we see these decisions get dragged. I mean, look at Billy Napier for the last year plus. And I think even with Les Miles, it's just the most notable example because he got carried off the field and then he gets fired.
Was that the A&M game?
It was like A&M. It was like A&M last game of the season.
And I think I was covering the Egg Bowl. I think it was 2015.
Yeah. Because he comes back the next season.
Because he came back in 16, right? Like, and then
he got fired like three games.
Was it like didn't we have like a Malzahn? I think there was like a Malzahn less fire. Man. Like, it was like a loser leaves town.
Yeah.
And I want to say like LSU scored, but then it didn't count because there was a clock management issue. I hope you're sitting down for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny you mentioned that because Ross Dellinger, who covered less, used the example of he thought the end of Franklin felt like Les Miles to him.
For sure.
And he said like the one difference obviously was Les did have a national title, but it felt the exact same where it's like, he wasn't beating number one Alabama, except he did a couple times.
Yeah.
But then it's like once he started losing to the Ole Misses, the Mississippi States, it's like that's when it's over. Yes.
Yeah. And that's been, you know, like we all know the stat, you know, like he's got one win, James Franklin, against top 10 teams, you know, over the course of that tenure. But everybody else, they were beating – Penn State was beating them down. So, I mean, it brings the question to me, because is that a James Franklin issue? Is that a Penn State issue? Because Penn State does not have the Ohio State, Michigan resources, no matter how – to me. They have the prestige, the history, or whatever. But at the end of the day, these kids are playing for Ohio State and Michigan. They're not getting them at the same type of level. So it's like, is it a limited ceiling? But then you see what's happening in Indiana.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, all right.
Well, that's what makes you wonder. It's like, how much of it is not just the fact that it's, okay, the UCLA loss and then you're losing to Northwestern.
Yeah.
But how much of it is looking over, it's like, well, it took Indiana 6 seconds to figure this out. We're starting from a higher position.
Yeah.
Can we figure it out? I think it's also interesting from this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We're in very much in buyout season.
Oh, they don't care anymore.
And I think that's the big question because, like, if you're Luke Fickell, you can't feel good.
Mm-mm.
If you sit there and you go, well, Penn State's about to stroke this check. And granted, it's.
I mean.
I do think there's some important distinctions to note with Franklin's. He does have the offset. So the duty to mitigate or whatever. Yeah. They owe him $48 million over 6 years.
Yeah.
But if he takes another job, whatever the school pays gets knocked off. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they basically owe him $80 a year each and every year. So, if he gets a job and they pay him $7 million, they would only owe him $1 million. But then I was also thinking about this. It's like, on Friday, it was announced that private equity cash infusion deal went through. It's like, did Penn State just say, like, all right,
we got the money now.
We got the money now. Like, we don't care.
Yeah.
And,
But I mean, to me, it's that is a big aspect of this is, did Penn State, because like, let me rewind the clocks back to, do you remember when we started the COVID season?
Yep.
And we all were just desperate for football.
Yeah.
We all announced that collectively, no one will get fired. We'll just play the games. We just want to see
some games on the field.
Let's just get some games on the field. Let's see some football. We're gonna be adults about this.
Yeah.
And then like literally, I think they fired Muschamp 4 weeks into the season. And then it was like on. It was like once somebody went first, and like, oh wait.
Okay, it's cool to do it now.
Yeah, like, they fired him and they didn't take any flack for it. Okay, cool. Yeah. Like then everyone just started getting fired. And I did wonder, it's like, for those that think they have protection from the buyout, was the Franklin move. Now, it's entirely.
Norvell is who comes to mind for me.
Right.
That's, that's over 60 mil.
I think it's 57. I think it's 57.
But it's bigger than Franklin's was.
Correct. And I'm not sure.
Man, and that's
I'm not
ACC,
sure it's like. Well, A, it's ACC. B, it's.
Probably not spread out the same way.
I also think that like Florida State might be doing a lot on credit cards right now. Maybe, or lines of credit, maybe, shall we say.
Yeah.
And so it's not just Penn State looking at it like going, all right, well, maybe we don't have the cash like this very second. We're going to have it in 6 months. So cool. Whatever. So I do acknowledge that maybe these things are different, but it's the same question. It's like, does this make it easier to fire the Norvells of the world, where you think that you have this massive buyout, the Luke Fickles, like, does this create a chain reaction?
I mean, I think so. You know, and I think with James Franklin, I haven't seen a shift that fast in a firing in a while. Like, they were top five. He was on game day when they were playing against Oregon and, you know, joking around. And, I mean, it happened quick.
I mean, we made the joke, but it's like, okay, like, we acknowledge maybe Oregon's not what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's entirely possible. And for Indiana fans, that's not me throwing shade. Like, you kicked their ass. I watched the game.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that was misleading about the game was the final score. Like, you beat them worse in my mind. Like, I was like, that game was over.
They put it on them,
But you sit there and you go, okay, the data point was the Penn State-Oregon game.
Mm.
And I actually saw a different sliding doors. Y'all ready for this one?
Mm.
Do you remember what the score was late in the second quarter last year in Happy Valley when Ohio State came to town?
Late in the second quarter?
Yep. Will Howard had just thrown a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 10-0 Penn State.
They were up 10-0.
They then get the ball down. I guess, were they down four? Were they down 4 or 7 when they had first and goal from the one and didn't score. But it's like, everyone goes back to the Oregon game. It's like, man, if you go to that game and let's say they hold on and win there, or they score, go for two and win the game. If Ohio State still ends up losing to Michigan, that's 9-3 Ohio State, not in the playoff.
Not in the playoff.
Ryan Day might have gotten fired, because people can do the whole spins that all they want. They kicked the tires on firing him after Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that they were ready to pull the trigger, but they did at least find out if there were options. They make the decision to go to stick with him and win a national title. He's now their guy. Like, it feels like he's on a stable footing as all. But it's almost like if you just flip that one result, are we talking about a different thing? Now, you can also fairly make the point, like, that's the James Franklin experience.
Yeah.
Is the shoulda, coulda, woulda. I'm actually more fascinated about this with Franklin. Does Franklin make other teams fire their coach? Not because, oh, we saw Penn State pay the buyout. Is Franklin the type of coach that you go, listen, I know maybe it'd run its course with Penn State, but like, we kind of trust the guy to run a program.
He's won.
Guy went back-to-back 9-win seasons of Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he won at Vanderbilt. Yeah. I mean, look, North Carolina fans probably wouldn't be too pleased with the idea, but, I mean,
Here would be the options.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an Auburn fan right now that wouldn't take James Franklin?
Whew. You think an SEC team would? I don't think an SEC. I mean.
I would.
All right. I would.
All right, here's the – now, if I'm Florida, that's where it starts to become a question because I do think Florida is still
– No, they're going for the flashy.
Florida's still too DeLulu. Like,
they're going to try to go out the Kirk. They're going to try to
– Arkansas do a lot worse?
Arkansas could do a lot worse. I mean, I think
that'd be a good hire.
When they went and got Bielema, you know, that was kind of
– No, my only problem with Bielema bailed on the plan.
Yeah.
He was going to build Wisconsin – and it was starting to work, but then he got the Allen brothers that are really good pocket passers.
Yep.
And they started throwing the ball like 45 times a game. Like, no.
Yeah.
Go find two running backs from Miami.
Yep.
Like an Alex Collins type.
Yep.
Go get two running backs. One guy's going to have like long dreads and you're just going to watch him run for. You're going to have two running backs.
Yeah.
You're getting 25
like,
carries.
Correct. And you're going to watch each of them run for 200. Like, just do that. With, like, these massive offensive linemen.
Yeah.
But then he kind of bailed on it, and he started getting Hollywood throwing the ball too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was working at first.
They had something.
Like, that was the borderline ironic when they beat Texas and the horns down. He beat him, like, 45 to 14 or whatever. That I still think that's, like, a spot where it could work. But also, like, what if Franklin's just better, like, as an underdog? Like, I've just never bought, like, I think there are certain coaches that, like, don't need to be top dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're just, like, I think his style works better because it's never, you don't hear a lot of disgruntled players.
Right.
Guys tend to like playing for him.
Oh, they were going in about him. Duh. Like, yeah, yeah. He's got a lot of support since his decision's been made. Yeah.
I think if I were Auburn, I'd do it.
Ooh.
Although, shout out to Hugh this week. By giving up the late touchdown, even though it killed me on a cover, didn't lose a one-score game. Mm. So now it's not 2-9 in one-score games at Auburn.
Yeah.
Still 2-8. Drew was reading it out.
Uh-huh.
They beat I think he has two home SEC wins.
Hugh Freeze.
Yes. Missouri in like a bad overtime game. And then last year, A&M.
That's it.
At home.
Yeah.
That's why I make that face.
Listen.
Jordan Hare is not the easiest place to go play.
They win games.
No, they have been very good against the spread.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of losses.
They could do a lot worse than James Franklin.
All right, so Hugh is in year two. Three.
Yeah.
Right, because they got Peyton Thorne. They had Peyton Thorne for 2 years, but he didn't have another year before that, right?
No. That was Michigan State.
Home. In conference play, I want, because this was Drew's stat, not mine.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, they beat Mississippi State in 2023. And they beat A&M last year. Those are the home wins.
Mississippi State?
Correct.
And A&M.
And that was Arnett, Mississippi State.
Yeah. They've had some winnable games, too. Like, it's not like they get blasted in some of these games.
That includes losses. Are y'all ready, boys?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That includes losses to Vanderbilt last year, which that was their sixth win.
Yeah.
That includes Arkansas. Last year, Arkansas finished 6-6, right? I think that was also another low-key bowl game.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, just some devastating. The blown Alabama lead.
Mm-hmm.
They had Georgia, I think, down 10 one of those years.
Was that 23?
Was
that 23?
I think 23 they had him down.
Some fluke
and
stuff
then,
happened.
And then Brock Bowers went nuts in the second half. Like, Brock Bowers had, like, 200 yards in the second half.
It shouldn't shock anyone.
Yep, that would be 2-7 in SEC home games.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, see, this one is one of those ones where
he raises the floor. He's a floor raising type guy.
He's a lot better coach than Hugh Freeze.
I think that's fair.
Like,
yeah,
the farther you get removed from it, the more you realize like Hugh got a lot of mileage out of two games.
Oh yeah.
One in which bounced off a guy's helmet.
I still love seeing that play.
And they started Cooper Bateman in that game. And I know that they started Cooper Bateman that game because my brother, who was playing baseball at Alabama at the time, said, I just had breakfast with Cooper, who was his buddy,
And he goes, I'm pretty sure he's starting because he hasn't been able to eat anything.
Mm.
I might have gone and hammered Ole Miss that week. And I mean, he was, God, it was bad. I mean, they had like five turnovers and they still had the ball with a chance to at least tie it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of mileage out of that. Okay. So let's think of other schools.
For Franklin?
Yeah.
Because to me, it's.
Does he stay in the hot seat? Well, that's the other thing. It's like, does he want to stay in the Big Ten?
I don't see that.
Because, like, I got to imagine right now, wouldn't Wisconsin trade? Like, Wisconsin, I think, would, like, sit there
and
go.
He'd be
like,
a really good fit at Wisconsin.
And you can kind of do the same type thing.
Yeah.
Now, the ultimate who lives longer. So I don't know how familiar you are with James and Mike Loxley's history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, if Maryland kind of kept stumbling, could he take the old Maryland job back and, like, really dance on Loxley's grave and keep Malik?
That's the big one.
Because Maryland's got some pieces. It's Malik, but it's they have a couple.
They have a piece. Now, they have a
They have a couple freshman defensive linemen, too.
Okay, but the we got to get Malik some receivers.
Yeah, the receivers are terrible.
Sick and tired of watching Malik make a throw where I go, good God, what a throw.
Did you feel bad for him watching that Nebraska game?
Oh, yeah. No, and the week before.
Yeah, yeah.
The Washington guy was like, he's doing everything he can.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Mm.
And I was like, make a play for him. Just guys are dropping slant routes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am curious to see this is a domino.
If a coach is interested in Maryland and they can somehow convince him to stay, I think that could definitely become a destination. Like,
I have always wondered though, if Maryland is one of those jobs that everyone thinks like, oh, it's the DMV and there's good players there, but it's like, well, now everybody recruits the DMV.
I was going to say, it's
and it's not like Maryland's ever going to walk in with the highest budget.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's like, well, the standard in Maryland's not win a national title. Like, the standard is, like,
probably where I think James Franklin should go. Somewhere where 10 wins would be celebrated. 10 wins ain't getting celebrated in Happy Valley anymore.
Well, I think that's also, though, what is interesting about this entire coaching cycle.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that have gigs. Like, think about it in these terms.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously the name always gets brought up. Penn State and Cignetti.
Yeah.
Does anyone know for a shadow of a doubt that in 2025, I'm not saying in 2017, but in 2025, is there anything structurally that suggests Penn State is a definitely better job than Indiana?
Not what we're watching right now.
And then on top of that, okay, let's see. Let's say that Kurt does what, because this happened, I'll use the Lane Kiffin example.
Uh-huh.
Lane last year, they went all in. They spent all the money on the roster, playoff or bust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this. They didn't make the playoff. He got an extension.
Mm.
So is there not some kind of quality of life? Like, he still has the same, like, using the Florida job as an example.
Yeah.
He has just structurally the same opportunity to get to the playoff from Ole Miss as he does Florida. But if he goes 9-3 in a year that they beefed up and everybody's like, we're all in.
Mm-hmm. It ain't the same at Florida.
Because what if that's actually the lesson of James Franklin right now?
It should be.
You went all in and you didn't pay it off. And that got held against you.
Yeah. It's going to be a lesson with a lot of these guys.
That's my point. It's like, did anyone care with Ole Miss?
No. But I think we're going to see it in a couple of these places. Look, Brian Kelly and LSU, they're skating right now. But
are they as bad as I think? Okay, I'll use this example.
Uh-huh.
I think vibes are worse around LSU than LSU.
Mm.
I get it. The offense.
We're about to find out these next few weeks.
The offense is the offense.
Defense nasty.
They're still sitting here with one loss. And their one loss is on the road to the. And again, I get it. Are they going to be there at the end of the year? Probably not. Yeah, but right now,
Washington State,
they are sitting there as the number 4 team in the country.
Yeah.
And they lost on the road
Sorry, five. They did drop a spot, I beg your pardon.
Yes, Washington State will do that to you.
And they lost on the road by a possession. Like, this, it's like that thing where if that's an NFL loss, you don't really bat your eye at it.
Mm-hmm. But it's all, to me, it's about how do you view the SEC. Because the SEC isn't traditionally strong to me right now. It's a lot of meh. Like, it's a lot of teams
I said this with Topmeyer. Now, mm-hmm. we may be finding out there's one team playing for, or maybe, sorry.
Yeah.
There might be two teams playing for a national title.
Uh-huh.
In that Miami and Ohio State.
Yeah.
But Topmeyer and both agree. Even with Alabama getting back on track and being late. Being mm-hmm. the team that, okay, people thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
I still see a bunch of teams playing for bids.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.